This planning commission meeting for Wednesday, August 17th. It is now right on time, 6 o'clock. Welcome Deborah McMahon.
Thank you.
Via phone and Gloria Fleming via email. It's the first time it's ever happened. Okay, we will establish a quorum, hopefully, starting from my immediate left. Go ahead and state your name and your position.
Renee Schifano, Commissioner.
John Thomas, Commissioner.
Douglas Ward, Commissioner.
Yay, we do have a quorum. We will do the Pledge of Allegiance. At this time, we'll all stand and I will leave. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Added agenda items. Does anyone have any agenda items that we will add to tonight's meeting that will be brought forth under agenda item number 12?
Not I.
So, we'll go to agenda item number 5, public comments for items not on the agenda, and I don't believe we will have any of those. Moving on to 6. Little indication of the attendance tonight, Deborah?
Apparently.
Okay, so number 6, approval of Planning Commission meeting minutes for July 20th. And
there's, if I may, there's one mistake that I see in the minutes.
Okay.
On the last page, page 5.
Page 5.
Under number 13, adjourn. Motion was made by Vice Chair Ward and seconded by Commissioner Ward to adjourn. That should have been made by Gloria Fleming, just for the record.
Okay.
Right. Any other changes?
Other than that, nothing else.
Okay, I have none also. So, I would entertain a motion with the one change that we accept the minutes for July 20th.
I would so move.
Been moved and seconded. And if there's no question, we will do so. We have accepted July 20th. One change. All right. Number 7. By the way, this will be probably on record the shortest meeting that we will have. I only have a few things here. Number 7. Little Deschutes Lodge Phase 2 update from Chair Thomas. I did contact Rob Roy by telephone. The conversation only lasted about 10 minutes. The gist of the conversation was is that after his discussion with the state and some of his, I'm sure, complex process for applying to build that phase 2 of the Little Deschutes Lodge, it is off at this time and put on hold. Rob Roy will not be building Little Deschutes Lodge Phase 2 this year. He sounded a little bit upset about the latest developments that and dealings he's had with the state of Oregon. Oh. So, he will not be building. Very sad news for, I'm sure, Rob Roy and City of the Pine and all those connected with that. Okay, so...
May I ask a question?
Certainly.
We talked last time about him not completing what he set out to do with Phase 1. Has there been any discussion on that?
No.
There were 3 points that were approved by the City Council, for which I was a member, mm-hmm. that he has not completed.
Right.
Landscaping, the quote-unquote residence park area,
mm-hmm.
and the asphalt walkway that would go from the back of the lodge to Bi-Mart so that the people could traverse to Bi-Mart without walking on the street.
Mm-hmm.
That is a job for the City Council to take care of, but... I would think that possibly we might ask them to look into it.
Well, at this time, what we could do is we could write a letter of recommendation to the Pine City Council, and then they may want to deal with Deschutes County or whatever. But this time, this commission, I think the move would be for us is just to simply write a short letter of recommendation, or maybe a question as to what is the intent or plan it there to finish that plot plan. So if we'd like to do that, we might have some input from the staff on that.
Typically, what I do in this situation is call the planner in charge of that land use permit at the county and ask them if they've signed off and if they have any open files there, because if they've signed off and they missed something, then we need to know that. But if something's still open, we want to encourage them to focus in and do a new site inspection to make sure that those things don't get lost in the shuffle. And that's how we usually start, is to find out what is the status of the county's land use permit, because they may have an action going on we don't know about.
Right. Let me ask just one question before we go any further. If the county has, being 2 to 3 years now, signed off, if the county has signed off as completed on that project, what would be the any recourse of any the city?
Well, if the city council specifically had a negotiation with him on those items, we'd want to pull the minutes and send a letter to him and call and make sure that we know what his response would be. And as a courtesy, we probably want to do that before we send him a letter and just see what the issue is. Is there a bond? Is there, you know, some reason he didn't do it? Did the county give him an alteration to the site plan we don't know about? You know, things like that.
Right. Could we proceed with that then and just have you make that contact with the county?
Yeah.
And that they were the governing body on those permits?
And what I'll do is I'll email Will Groves and let him know that we're concerned about Little Deschutes Lodge, and he'll tell me who's in charge, and we'll get it done on email first, and then I'll follow up with a phone call.
Okay. Good. I think that'd be good.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I don't think this commission should be interested in maintaining any politics in this matter, and just proceed with the rules as they stand for everybody, and see where we stand on this. It's one of the topics that we have talked about the last couple of years, and that's that when permits are approved and everything, we just expect for a city that they be carried out. And so we are interested in to see what the outcome would be. So let's do that then. Now that you volunteered, Deborah?
Well, I think it's the quickest way to get information, and that's what we need.
Okay. Then this will have a little brief report maybe next time. And that next time will be discussed here in a little while. Number 8 would be goals and objectives for the coming year. I have a letter from Gloria that I'll read first before and have her be finished first before we go on. She wrote a letter that says, fellow commissioners, I am sorry to have to miss this meeting, but I'm out of town. I'm interested in John's report on Little Deschutes Lodge, so we'll be checking the minutes for that info. As far as goals and objectives, it looks like the Planning Commission will still be involved in tweaking our current ordinances until the gap period has expired and they finally become official. I hope we can get to work on the Lapine traffic corridor to beautify and enhance to make it more attractive to citizens and tourists. There have been so many studies and so many different factions involved. It would be nice if the commission could be the conduit to bring all together and some decisions made. I understand Rick has had conversations with ODOT and truckers about the signal and a median of some sort. He indicated something may happen sooner than we originally thought. There was another group working on a town center concept, and I believe various other studies have been submitted to the city throughout the years. I am not sure about what all is involved in the TSP we are required to do, but perhaps this all could be tied in somehow. I hope that the materials recently purchased will help bring everyone up to speed and that continuing education is available. I do not have any reports for this meeting. Gloria. And then she emailed, I would hope that we would find a way to get community input and discussion on the wayside. Also, would this be an ODOT issue too? Wonder how it would tie in with the future bypass at Burgess in 97. I personally think a great deal of thought must go into that project. I think a priority should be given to the downtown Lapine area since we may get some cooperation from ODOT on that. Just my two cents worth. Have a good meeting, Gloria.
I need to ask a question.
Okay.
I've heard this wayside come up a number of times. On that map, what exactly is the wayside?
Yeah, I was asking.
I'm completely confused on this, what we're calling a wayside here.
It's the big green splotch, the square in the kind of the middle of the map.
Why are we calling it a wayside?
Yeah.
Because early on when we started talking about that property, we talked about it as a way to capture people who needed services but maybe were on their way through to a different destination. And right now the trend has been for those people just to go on to Bend instead of staying in Lapine and getting their services here.
Isn't that BLM land? Isn't that owned by the BLM?
No, it's OS&C land.
What does that mean?
State conservation land.
Oh, I see. Okay.
There is nothing there, though, at the moment, right?
No, there's nothing there.
No. Okay.
Deborah, can you kind of remind us how, you know, planning and zoning works, even if it is owned by other agencies and stuff?
Sure. If you remember when we went through the comp plan process, we had, you know, the aspirations of the community, the goals and the policies, and those are broad wishes of the community. And one of the things that came up, which eventually we passed, was making sure we have wildlife corridors, making sure that we linked up our green spaces on the map so that people could walk from park to park or to other type of recreational facilities. And the wayside is one of those linkages, and what we're planning there is going to have more facilities than just for people who are traveling. There's an opportunity, if you guys remember early on, and John, you might remember this better than the rest, is because we did a site plan, remember, we worked on the whiteboard, and we started locating things that were important to the community. One was to have a place for people to get gas, get services, perhaps overnight accommodation, big fields that could be used for community events. So we were looking for utilizing the land in a number of ways instead of just having it used for one thing. So when you look at the map, you'll see that the green things try to connect from the river on over to the wayside. And the wayside will have multiple services, not only for travelers, but for citizens as well.
And also about how zoning and planning is actually conducted within the city limits, regardless of the ownership of the land.
That's right. The comp plan has a huge citizen involvement and outreach just by itself. You remember the number of meetings we went to. And when you put a comprehensive plan map together and you have text to support it, those are things that have to look out, you know, for the planning of the community over 20 years. So things that you might not do tomorrow but maybe 5 years from now or 10 years from now, they should show up on the plan because you're supposed to think out 20 years.
Right. See, we actually zone and plan on government property, regardless of who owns it. We still zone and plan on for that piece of property.
Yes.
Wow. You know, that wayside, don't spend a lot of time on that wayside, because I think Deborah really, that, you know, I've weighed in on, I have lots of thoughts about it, but because it's going to be a decade or more down the road, and it looks fine on a map, and right now we need things on the map for our LCDC issues, so, but the reality is just a couple things, just so you all know. First of all, the ODOT plan for the viaduct going over the railroad tracks out there actually brings a whole raised highway back a mile south from Wickiup, and your green touches to where they're actually sloping uphill to go, and they swoop out on the east side, they get into your green, and the other thing is, then if you're going to have people coming in and out of there, you're either coming down a hill to turn left into it, mm-hmm. and or you're coming out of it at the bottom of a hill, and semis literally would have to start up a hill right from a dead stop. ODOT isn't going to allow any of that. So, again, these are all battles for another day.
Sure.
But it takes up space on the map.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's, right. You know, I got the ODOT plan, the ODOT map sitting here. You can't see it, but there it is. And if you just get your bearings, you can see that subdivision
mm-hmm.
here.
Right.
If you look, the stop of the green.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You draw this across. This is all a hill. This is a viaduct.
Right.
Is that a new ODOT map, Rick?
Yeah. See,
January.
See, we actually planned, Deborah, for that wayside way before ODOT gave us this map. So.
And we have excess land there, so we have plenty of flexibility. So. You know, it's not a, like Rick said, it's not an urgent issue, but one of the reasons I brought it up as an example of something that could be worked on is because it would give you experience in site planning, and you'd have a little more opportunity to define what that means.
And Deborah, let me just stop the other one. Forget that it could be built there. I'll be gone, so... That issue of whether that's even good economically, people smarter than me need to weigh in on that, because my gut check tells me, and others can just in your own brains think about it, when I go on raft trips and I got all the people loaded in the rig, I went by Wickiup, basically in the middle of a 3-mile open area. If I unload everyone to go to the bathroom, and I've got the kid out of the car seat, and I've watered the dog, I probably am not going to unload again a mile either direction to go to the McDonald's, the Taco Bell, or Wickiup, or by gas. Mm-hmm. We already have two cities here with a 3-mile. Now we're talking about in the middle of a 3-mile strip unloading there where there's no motels, no services, in the middle of the forest. I think that we actually, it'll be a great bathroom stop. But I'm not sure the community will benefit beyond that, because people don't unload their families twice in a mile. That's just, and again, people smarter than me need to think about it. But when you look at the investment, the location, I'm not sure it ever gets there. But, you know, that's a chamber, that's a community visioning, that's all kinds of stuff. So,
well, now that we have ODOT involved, we're going to have to wait for that to come to fruition. That latest plan, to me, is a mistake, and I hope that never comes to being. So, well, and that may change. You know, I liked one plan a year ago, and then I didn't like the next, and now I hate this one. So, I mean, there's probably going to be 3 or 4 changes by the time I'm settled in here. So, I'm basically to the point where I'm just waiting now on ODOT to see what they're going to do with that interchange. Hopefully, it'll change again, because this latest plan is ridiculous. Yes. And I'm interested to see what Georgie Ann and Mark up at Wickiup Junction store have to say about no access from southbound on 97 into their business.
If they did that intersection as it is drawn, okay, it would put the Ricky Objection station completely out of business in 3 months. They wouldn't be there. It'd be an empty building.
Yeah, they've had a hard enough time with,
you can
with
say that again.
What they have already done.
I think that's not something we have to worry about.
I think that really, you know, these cities, they're starting from the ground up. This ODOT thing is absolutely substructural ground up item that none of us can even plan on until ODOT gets done.
That's right.
So I will though be at as many ODOT meetings as I can and voice my opinion on this latest plan.
You know, and we might be able to move that down to First Street, Deb, the same concept, but move it, say, down to First Street by McDonald's and Reed Road. That'll become signalized. The sewer lagoon is back there with the big pivot, but that's going to become the city's.
That needs to move.
And the city, that will become excess property and abandoned. So that corner there, which you've got Taco Bell, you've got the motel here, you've got, you know, the fast fooders, and then you're way away from that whole issue we just talked about.
Yeah. Sure.
So the concept's fine. I think we may just have to move it a little.
Yeah, that 160 where that big round pivot is right now, that needs to be moved on the other side.
That will be moved. The city will do that. That pivot's not being used anymore.
Yeah, that needs to be moved, and then we need to, now we're on ODOT, I'm just going to say that the gravel pile in the middle of downtown La Pine needs to be moved. I've told this to ODOT, and ODOT doesn't like to hear it from me, but it's true that you don't find too many gravel piles in the middle of other towns, and, you know, they were here first, but they need to roll the punches like the rest of us.
They have a big, ugly one in Bend, too. When you bring up the issue of ODOT, it reminds me of Gloria's earlier comment about the TSP. Rick, was Gary Farnsworth going to make an announcement, or are we past that?
On the TSP?
Yeah.
Well, he's already announced it. They were, they're starting to, I think, go out and, because I met with them the other day on, you know, other stuff, but they figured they would like to get it going in the fall, and they were going to put it out for their... However, you know what they were talking about, actually piggybacking on another TSP so they don't have to go through the process of finding they would like go hire whoever they want and just do it that way.
Okay.
And that would speed it up. They have some system to add it on to another TSP.
There's one thing we need to coordinate on the scope, and we put it into the comprehensive plan, was taking a look at CAGL and looking at some city street grids that could be possible for that area.
Sure. Yeah, so we haven't talked to him at all about what the scope would be, but...
Let me know when that happens, if you can.
I have a question. What do you mean, CAGL City Street Grids? explain that in English.
Oh, I thought I was, God.
No.
CAGL right now, it just has big lots and very few streets, and over time, what we've seen... And of course, you know, we have to look out the 20 years, is if you had street connections in CAGL that allowed redevelopment, what would they look like? So right now, if you just have streets going east and west and just a few access points on either end of that big yellow area, if you look at the map.
Well, you have one east-west main street, that's CAGL, and then you have five...
big long roads.
Yeah.
5 miles. North-south roads that connect with CAGL and Burgess.
I think what you're talking about, you know, there should be a little more of a, you know, those are longer roads than you normally.
Well, yeah, they are long. They're well over a mile long.
Yeah.
I live at the end of one of my.
Right, are you talking about, Deb, crisscrossing that more in a traditional system?
That's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you'd have to buy it right-of-ways, certainly, you know, you may draw a couple more in there.
Oh, I see.
That's what she's talking.
I understand what you're saying.
West corner.
I understand. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I knew you'd have the answer for me.
Okay, and then on the, on these goals and objectives, we have printed here, Deborah, your issues for review, and I've read these, and so... You want me just to read them, or?
Well, let me give you just a little background.
Okay.
The Planning Commission is the primary citizen involvement group, and that's established through the comprehensive plan and other ordinances. So you hold the role of dealing with citizens who have issues about land use, and then you can delegate those types of things, but you don't have budgetary authority, mm-hmm. and you need to have goals that mirror or support the city council goals, because you technically work for the city council. So mm-hmm. using that as a basis, and taking what I could off the city website, there are a few things that we can follow. And there may be other council goals, but man, I could not find them on the website. So underneath the guidelines for decision making, that's just kind of the council's expression on how to deal with issues with one another in the community. And then, as we know, some of the things that the Planning Commission has worked on with the City Council in the past have been, okay, when we get these land use codes in place and we have full jurisdiction over the community, we need to be consistent and prompt when applying those codes. And that keeps people getting a fair and square deal from the city. So that's why I put number one in, is because that's just pretty much common sense, and it's a broad goal that the council has already pretty much talked about, is having good reactions and responses to citizens.
Mm-hmm.
And the second one is, you know, as a planning commission, you have a lot of people coming to the planning commission as commissioners, and there's a lot of movement, a lot of new people. So it's important to have continuing education regarding the role of the planning commissioner, to understand what that means, to understand the ethical issues that sometimes you face. And so now that we have a library and the computer, you've got good resources to explore how those things are, what your purview is as a planning commissioner, and some interesting books on land use planning so that you're familiar with the terms, etc. And number three is, as planning commissioners, you have to be aware of what's happening in the economy. It hits the council too, and you have to look for ways to remove obstacles and refine the codes if necessary. Now, you'll see a theme here. These are broad goals that could last a very long time, and that's what goals are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
They're not individual tasks. So these are goals that could apply to any planning commission. And then the fourth one was the theme that drove the planning commissioners to in the comprehensive plan process, which is to address livability issues in the community consistent with the comprehensive plan and other needs as the community changes over time. You got to look ahead and respond to new development, but it was real clear from our citizens that they did not want us to forget the past. They want the image of Lapine to retain its history. So there's some balancing that has to occur there. And livability within the community was such a big deal. I felt it should be one of the overarching goals for the Planning Commission. And then these are all things I'm suggesting. You don't have to do any of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're broad goals, and they make a lot of sense. And as you said, they're goals that would be consistent with any planning commission in the country. I mean, it's...
And from there, you can deal with specific objectives. So if you agree with 1, 2, 3, and 4, and of course you want some time to think about this, it's not going to happen tonight, you might want to think about, is there anything we need to change in the land use codes and be aware of? Well, for number one, the first thing and the most current thing is the sign code. What changes do we need to do to make that sign code improved based on the information we're getting from the public? So that's an objective, is to make the sign code more palatable to the community.
Right.
Okay.
You know, and it'd be nice to leave that open for a specific period of time, and then close that, so that we don't every month have a new person come in that wants a new change to the sign code. That's what I could see what would happen if we continue to just leave it open during this gap period. I would like to just get it finalized and then...
Well, there's a process to do that, and that is to collect the data. Staff will do a report on what changes need to be made or not, and then you will hold a public hearing and recommend to the city council what should be changed in the ordinance.
Do you have all the, we've already discussed all the changes, so basically you have all these latest changes, right?
Now, well, I have most of them, but I wanted to ask Rick how many more meetings he's had.
I would say we can tell them two more,
okay.
And that way they've had four, and that would be good. So if you figured September, October, so
sure.
Then in November you guys could go through and approve it in the council in December, and January 1st, then you'd take effect. You, I mean, well, you'd have it.
Yeah.
It won't be in effect, but you'd have it done.
Right. That'd be a goal right there.
Just tell them they got two more months.
By January 1, you'd be done with the sign code, because it's to me, it's very understandable, very easy to read, very generous. I don't see too many more problems with it. So, yeah, a couple more meetings, let's get it done.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so a specific objective would be finish the sign code.
Yeah, by December 31st.
I'll send an email to her and tell her that they've got
great
a specific time they have to be done.
December 31st, we got to be done.
Well, I'll tell them, though, the committee.
Right.
Who heard them?
The sign people, the chamber, the group that's been meeting. But the last meeting
the
really
sign companies.
Was really a business owner and a couple of sign folks, and they're not getting out in left field. They're getting it figured out. So, you know, to a degree, it's a process that you'll end up with more support behind your code. Letting them actually, this time they're spending will help make your job easier. Because they've got buy-in now, and the changes they may have recommended so far are, you know, no big deal. They'll have a couple, three more, four more, small. I didn't hear anything that sounds weird.
You know, it would be helpful to the entire community if through this venue, twice a month when our mayor has his little column, to explain not only to the chamber, but explain to the residents.
Yeah.
They have until January to question, ask, whatever, come down, you know.
Doesn't she have a monthly column in there?
Well, he does it.
No, Renee. The mayor is she's uninvolved. I mean, it's not.
Well, yeah, I know.
He was going to have a
column in there, and he could put in a word just like he did with clean up the streets.
And then there's a little planning commission.
Right there. Yeah, there's one there.
Sometimes there's. Sometimes right here, Lapine City News, it's had planning commission.
You know,
news.
The average person, I mean, the reality is that 90-some percent of the people, the sign ordinance is not an issue. Oh. It only is an issue to those who have one, and that's really more chamber-related. And that's
true.
Really. A citizen...
But everybody should have the opportunity to know
and they
what's
will.
Happening, and if they don't do anything, well, then that's...
Right.
Didn't it also include the yard sales, garage sales? What did not?
Deborah can tell you what's in the yard. So, I mean, these groups aren't talking about yard sales. I mean, because they don't care about yard sales.
My brother-in-law still wants 25 chickens, okay?
No, I mean.
Deborah will have to answer the yard sale issue.
All I heard was signs for chickens. Somebody had to clarify what the question was.
Yard sales. I mean, this group isn't looking into yard sale signs.
No, but it's been brought up in other meetings I've been in about there's certain areas in our town that get conglomerated with yard sales, the signage for yard sales.
The code addresses those, right?
Yes, it does.
That's my question.
And technically, you're not supposed to put garage sale signs or any sign on public property, and that's usually where we have
power poles and stop signs.
Right, and it's a nuisance, and people can have them in their front yards. That's allowed. If they get approval from a person on a corner who has the right to a sign and they get approval to put it on private property, that's fine. But the conglomeration is a problem for every city. And what we have to do is be really strict on the public right-of-way, because that is not for people to use for their own personal signage purposes.
Well,
that's not.
They do it at Huntington and Burgess, and people pull over to get out and actually, you know, physically get out of their vehicles to look.
Yeah, it's a dangerous thing, too.
Yeah,
it makes access horrible.
It's ugly, too.
You know, Deborah, how Deschutes County has this area where Deschutes County Public Works, as they drive around, they pick up these signs, and there's this area up there by the, in the Public Works building that they, this back closet, that they stuff these signs in. And they just put out occasionally, once a quarter, whatever, if you're missing a sign that you put out in Deschutes County somewhere, we may have it. You're welcome to come up and find a sign. The other day, I was going to pick up a couple signs, but we don't have anywhere. You know, I didn't have anywhere to put them, and my garage is too junked up to put anything else in it. And so I thought, but if we have a place, maybe in the new city hall.
No, we're not taking junk signs.
where we have this back area, and we throw these signs in there, or whatever.
No, there'll be no signs.
See, it's easy to get into trouble with that.
You'll
because
be careful. You'll be
somebody can say you took their sign without their permission, and you don't want to be accused of that.
You can shake your head, but you're operating under the scope of the planning commission.
Why can't we just put up?
Yeah, but the thing is
public property, I believe. Why can't we do a post no signage?
Yeah. See, you know, what we're talking about is enforcement here. Not that you will never get rid of the problem until you enforce it.
Well,
so we can talk all day long about this, but it's an enforcement issue is what it is.
You really need to help the community understand that there's an educational process and that here are the rules, because it's not fair to just come down on the community when maybe somebody doesn't understand the rules. So there's some outreach that needs to occur too. Otherwise, you know, we're going to have all kinds of people complaining, and we can't possibly spend time going out taking and storing signs. It just can't do that.
Okay, so you're talking about education now, and so
education.
Then now we go back around full circle to an article in the Newberry Eagle or somewhere where we provide this education.
Yes.
So. We'll come back to that. So if we, as a commission, if we want, we'll have to put in an article. Someone will have to write it. And usually that staff would write a letter each month to this Newberry Eagle or whatever so he can provide this education. So I don't know who's going to do that.
Well, we'll think about it and see what makes the most sense. We might have to prioritize because there are so many issues that are occurring for you all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so.
When we have our public works department, which will be when we have sewer and water, we'll have a big yard and a big storage thing and guys with pickups, and they'll go around and start taking down old signs, and that's 10 months away.
Now, since you brought up sewer water.
That's how that was.
Seeing as how the land transfer for where sewer is supposed to go, completely fallen through in Washington, D.C., you got to start all over from phase one, which started 6 years ago. How is that going to affect how the current system can expand? Can it expand more? Can it not expand? Is it going to have to sit still because it can't move?
What expand?
What sewer district?
Where the sewer plant is now is going to move out to the cemetery.
Just the pivot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But now that land transfer is falling through.
Not
according to the media stuff. The media says it's completely falling through. Now they're starting over again.
Right.
Well, they've only been working on this thing for 6 years.
No, I mean, I think you'll get it in the next year.
You really think so?
Walden brought it back, and they really have high hopes this time.
They had high hopes last time.
Yeah. I know. This time,
I have two. This time
is for real.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you will get it, you know. And right now, the sewer is not spreading effluent on there, and they seem to have enough holding power that they're surviving. They're getting evaporation. There's no growth going on, so there's no increased demand.
No.
So probably for next year or two, they're fine.
Well, is the city going to continue to think about annexing Kegel for the sewer and water?
Or
is that off for next couple of years?
That's off a while.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought.
You know, for a lot of reasons.
Because I've had a lot of people.
I would say that's out of way.
If it's remaining so small, the water and sewer hook up.
Right.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Hooking you up.
Why are they going to be union? It doesn't make sense to me.
Once there's more than two employees, they can form a union.
All right.
That's
everybody wants to belong.
Okay.
They want to belong.
Just wondered.
It's just a normal thing.
Okay.
Okay, under the goals and objectives, do we have any other specific goals and objectives for the coming year?
Well, what I would recommend to the Planning Commission is look at those four broad goals, see if there's anything missing, and then underneath each of those, 1, 2, 3, and 4, do we have objectives, which sometimes you can call projects, that need to be completed? We've already identified the sign code. There'll be probably others. And then, you know, under education, we talked about, you know, making sure that the planning commissioners are up to speed, they know their role, they get training, they go to LLC, you know, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I would think about this for a while. It's not something you should do tonight. It's something you have to think about, and then we'll have further discussion at some future meeting. But you really got to think about this.
I'm trying to think of when we established our goals and objectives last year. What month was it? Was it toward the end of the year? I can't remember.
Well, you know, you try to get ready for one or two different cycles. One, the calendar year or mm-hmm. the budget year. And for you guys, I would think the calendar year makes sense. So this is not a huge rush.
So we could consider these then and then possibly have some written goals and objectives by the end of December then, right?
Sure.
Okay. All righty then. Let's do that. Everybody keep this with them and then think about your goals and objectives for this planning commission, and we will try to finalize that by December 31st. That makes sense in that we're late for my historically short meeting right now. Number 9, recruitment of 2 commissioners. This is an ongoing dilemma. It's not a problem. There's only solutions. There are no problems.
Have you received any applications from the ads in the paper?
Mm-mm. Nothing?
We have received no applications.
Nothing, no.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we'll continue the ad, and then us three just put our feelers out in the community. And
John, I think Gloria said she was going to write an article about, you know, what her experience was, and
mm-hmm. that'd be good.
Hoping to.
Yeah, she was.
You might just as a recommendation print something up and put it on the bulletin board at the senior center.
Okay.
They have a ton of information there all the time.
All right.
And they have a ton of people going in and out the door every 5 days a week there. It might be helpful.
Maybe the chamber at their Friday monthly breakfast.
That would help, yes.
What about that gentleman that was here that day, and he said, remember him when he got back?
Wasn't he going to the sewer and water board?
He's on the sewer and water
board. Wayne.
Yeah.
Wayne Colbert.
Wayne Sodders.
Bill
Sodders, yeah. He is on board. I don't know if he would want to be on this one also. Might contact him.
Well, at that time he said he would, but I didn't know. If
yeah, and the board isn't going to go that long anyway, right?
Which one?
The water and sewer boards.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're done in a year because they'll go away.
Right.
Then there will be no more boards.
Planning commission is kind of a long-term thing. So
public works.
Maybe we'll, if anybody knows him, talk to him or...
It'd be nice if we could get somebody maybe from the school district.
Then we could advertise somewhere in this upcoming school year, huh? That's a good idea.
Are the positions open out of city residents?
There is
or
one.
City residents?
There is one for out of city.
Okay.
Gloria is the other one.
So we can get someone from anywhere.
So Gloria would be filled.
That's easier.
And then the other one would be city resident. So, yeah. So, I know a principal and one of the teachers at the middle school. I'll put out some feelers there then, too, and think about how we can advertise over there. Okay, so starting time for meetings on number 10, we talked about going to 5 o'clock. That's consistent with some of the other committees. I'll just throw out the question first, Patty. What are the other committees and that meet at 5 o'clock?
Water and Sewer District meeting, it starts at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
It was moved from the morning to 5 p.m.
Would it help the city staff to meet at 5 o'clock?
Oh, well, they'd like it better, but the fact is you need to make sure it works for the committee.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Not the staff. The staff
so,
will do what they're told.
So that was kind of a question. So what does the commissioners think about a starting time at 5 o'clock?
I'm good with any time.
5 o'clock's fine with me. 6 o'clock's fine with me.
4 o'clock's
since,
fine with me.
Since we're going into wintertime, 5 o'clock would probably be better.
Yeah, and then maybe change it based on your new members. If they work, they may say it's got to be 6.
Either one is fine with me.
We publicize it for every meeting.
So. Yeah. Well,
what about 4 o'clock?
Huh?
What about with 4 o'clock?
We met at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I like 4 o'clock.
For the winter, with just this group, you could.
Yeah.
For me, anybody's fine with me. I don't care. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have nothing to do anyway except a whole bunch of other stuff.
Well, if we assume most citizens who may have an issue have a regular job that gets out at 5, it's going to be tough for them to get to a meeting.
Could do 5:30.
Very true.
Yeah, I would say split the difference. That way they can at least not short their work day.
Okay. You can be done by 7, generally.
5:30 is a good time for me.
Works for me.
Do you need a motion for that? Would anybody like to make a motion?
I make a motion that we start meeting at 5:30.
Well, I can second that.
Okay. Let's have a straw poll vote on that. All those in favor? Aye.
Yeah.
Aye. Those opposed? The ayes have it. So we're...
And that's... Cut into Monday Night Football. We're all right.
Uh-oh.
The starting time, under that section 10, agenda item number 10 then, I would like to make a recommendation that we take the next month off, September, as a planning commission, and not meet again until the third Wednesday in October. What does anybody think about that?
Well, I'm going to miss next month anyway. I'll be up in Madras.
If I go to that conference, I'll miss it also.
Skip September for me is fine with me.
I can do a lot of work on our 4D Lebobs.
Mm-hmm. Well?
If you'd like. Works for me.
I would entertain a motion then that we take the month of September off and schedule our next meeting until October or whenever, the third week.
Third Wednesday in October.
Third Wednesday, what is that?
Hello.
October.
Nobody can see that far.
19th.
October 19th to be our next meeting.
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Aye.
Done deal. October 19th at 5:30 p.m. Next Planning Commission meeting. Okay, Patty?
Okay.
Planning Commission reports. Did anybody attend other meetings?
Yeah, now I just remember
that. My accident. It's very embarrassing.
Your accident?
Yeah. My accident, I did attend another meeting. Oh. I was so embarrassed.
Oh, that's okay.
That's it.
Oh, you attended another meeting by accident?
Yeah, I thought it was us.
Oh.
No,
did you just stay there and act like you knew?
I sat over here in front of the
house. Oh, good.
And then I...
Did you learn anything?
It was... A lot of people came. A lot of people
What
came.
Meeting did you
they were, Oh, it was the lawyer.
Oh.
You guys were interviewing the lawyers.
Yeah. Oh, interviewing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
No, well, you didn't even can come to them, so no one would have.
Actually,
it was interesting.
Somebody's supposed to come from the Planning Commission so they can give the mayor a report. So you should have probably given him a report.
Deborah and the commission, this is one thing that the group did want, and since we're not going to meet for 2 months, what you could do as they felt, and Deborah, if you have the sign code in front of you, and I looked at it and I said, there's probably something we could do. The the long story short, the sandwich signs. They would like to see that almost as a separate paragraph.
Okay.
And thinking that, in other words, the thing's 40 pages thick, but there's only two or three things that 90% of the people are going to always be addressing. Mm-hmm. And so what they noticed was under definitions, it's got, you get into temporary signs, in parentheses, sandwich signs, and so on. But then when you go to the rules, nowhere is sandwich signs used again, and they get lost between commercial zone, residential zone, temporary signs, event temporary signs, banners, and they just said, it's one of those huge issues, why don't we have a paragraph, even if you're duplicating it, in other words, it's addressed under temporary signs also, but have a dark bolded sandwich signs and have the rules that pertain to it, how big it can be, do they have to come in every night, are they only in front of your business, they can't obstruct the sidewalk, whatever those rules are going to be with a sandwich sign.
Okay.
Because they did decide, they didn't think they should be off a block away. They need to be in front of your business, not obstructing a sidewalk, so they weren't getting weird. It was just that they have a hard time quickly going to a page and finding sandwich sign. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And those signs need to be neat.
Yeah.
Clean and precise.
So maybe you want to beat that up a little with
some of the ones we got down here now.
They were talking about making it to where you can read it when you go down the road.
Yes.
And that type of thing. So they were pretty supportive. It's just, let's do a separate section on them.
Okay.
And the other, like I say, it may be twice in there, but go ahead if we could. And then I could have that to them for a draft at their meeting in September. Mm-hmm. You guys are taking the month off. Mm-hmm. And then when we come back in October, we could have it pretty well refined, show it to you guys.
Yeah,
how would that work?
Sounds good to me.
That's what
I want to email you a few questions so I understand it thoroughly.
Yeah, what kind of things to address. We may have more bullet points in it than it does right now even. Then the second thing is, since you're going to skip a meeting, we'd like to have we're going to get our Public Works Committee up and going, and we'd like to have one member of the Planning Commission serve on that. That's in our resolution. It specifically says a member from the Planning Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And, Doug, if it's something you might be interested in, possibly, you're my road guru.
Well, what exactly does that committee do?
They're going to meet monthly, they'll skip maybe 8 times a year. We're not going to worry about meeting every month. But they're going to set, like our Cagle project we just did, I would come to you guys and say, what do you think about taking on another road up in that subdivision? How did it go? Do you think we did it right? And really, it's everything from sewer, water, sidewalks, roads, the TSP, mm-hmm. Transportation System Plan.
Yeah.
The Utilities Committee needs to go away and shut down, and I've told the council that, and they know that. We formed Public Works Committee, and it's never met, it's never formed. Mm-hmm. We're going to put an ad out, and it's a 7-person one, but there's 2 categories. One is the Chamber gets a rep, the Planning Commission gets a rep, the 3 neighborhoods get a rep.
Mm-hmm.
And
I live in one of those neighborhoods.
That's right.
I live in that.
And then there'd be two at large.
The Planning Commission had a close tie-in with that.
That's correct.
As he said, the ordinance states that a Planning Commission member is one of the members of it. So
if you guys would like to recommend, or if one of you would agree, because
if you want me, I'll be glad to.
Well, I think you'd do a good job, and then that can change. And if they decide to put you in under the Cagle position, and there was someone else here that wanted to do it, for sure we need one of you.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you guys would maybe make a motion if you want to recommend it, then that's official. That you guys would recommend him.
Yeah. You want to make a motion that Douglas Ward be the Planning Commission member on the new Public Works Commission?
I recommend that Douglas Ward be the new Planning Commissioner on the
Public Works Committee.
Public Works Committee.
And I would second that. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Yeah, it's happened. So
you're pretty sneaky how you ran that in. You know that, don't you?
Well, I just was working on that today. We need to get it going.
Yeah.
People have been asking about it.
One of the big deals is that transportation system plan. See, as a public, as a planning commission member, you're going to be a very strong voice in that TSP, whereas them just being public works, they might not have that expanded viewpoint on a TSP that a planning commissioner member would be. You see how that mm-hmm. going to work?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very important position on that public
now
works.
Now you tell me after you already got me in.
You're in.
It is.
Yeah, it really has. It'll be neat to see how that goes.
Yeah.
You know, I would, if the right makeup appeal, I might have it at 2 o'clock or something so that it's easy, because you're going to have Donna from, you know, and once we get our public works going, you're going to have the foreman out there. You don't want them all coming in at 9 on overtime.
Mm. No.
It's an advisory committee, and they could meet during the day. Mm. That's my hope.
Mm-hmm. Very important.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Stay away from Tuesday and Wednesday.
During the day?
Yeah.
You don't like those?
Well, okay. I play bingo. I'm the bingo king at the senior center.
Well, okay. What time are you done with that?
1 at 4. And then I play bunco. I'm also the bunco king.
Well, it may interfere with one of those.
I'm trying to...
Once a month.
Augment my income, you know.
Now, on this planning commission reports, because Renee did kind of question what's going on in this new little park over here, I'll give a little report. I'm also on the Ford Foundation, Ford Family Foundation Cohort 2 that like put those street lights in the last year. Well, this year it's Cohort 2. I mean, that was the one. This is the 2. Our project is the revitalizing of that little playground park there. Mm-hmm. There's a big entrance sign that's going to go in. 3 new playground equipment. Revitalizing of those 2 existing shelters, new landscaping, 3 or 4 benches, a few little deciduous trees strategically placed, and just to really beautify that little playground park area. And that is Cohort 2's goal for this year. Now, keep in mind though, if someone asks you, that whole plot plan as design may not be completely done, you know, before the snow flies. So there, it's built in that thing go on into spring and early summer of next year. So really, realistically, we would hope that whole project will be done, you know, by next summer. Okay.
Are they doing the restroom, John? Is there something?
Yeah, that's like phase 2. Oh,
okay.
$10,000 or whatever, and so that's phase 2, and that'll be certainly next year.
Okay.
Phase 1 is the new playground implements and the archway and maybe a couple benches and fixing up the pagodas there and such. And that's basically all we hope for.
No, that's being done with Ford Foundation funds,
local donations, and Ford Foundation funds.
No tax revenue from Park and Rec?
No tax revenue from Park and Rec. In fact, Park and Rec, the reason that Cohort 2 Ford Family Foundation chose that is because it wouldn't have got done without that. There's no money and no plans for Park and Rec. Park and Rec doesn't own the property. They have agreed, though, through this process to maintain it once we have it built. And there may be new monies for that. But to get this initial thing done, there was no monies. So one of the questions was in the community was, and I'll just put it out there, quite frankly, the people said, well, why didn't Park and Rec just do it? Well, it wasn't in the plan. It wasn't in the long-range plan even. There was no money. So we decided to kick it off, do it. They'll maintain it later. So that's
that area, including the library, is all in that 10 acres. That's BLM that is someday
yes.
going to be transferred right. to the city.
That's correct.
Yeah, the scope of our little project is actually about that little half acre that's
yeah,
in there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's part of a 2.414 acres, I think, that's that triangular piece that is just south of the library.
Yeah.
But that whole process, that whole piece of land, with the event center and all of that's the whole 10 acres on. Eventually, there's talk that in the future it could be Lapine City Center Park, and that's a long-range goal is that the city eventually own it. But anyway, that's long and short of that.
Who does the maintenance upkeep?
Yes. Okay, when it's done, the park and rec will take over the maintenance of it. Lapine Park and Rec. Lapine Park and Rec here. They'll maintain
Parks and Rec District, because their offices are there.
I know they are.
The library was in charge of it up until this year. The Deschutes County Library System was in charge of it. And it was just a headache for them, because the trees were all shrouded in there, and it was a perfect little hiding place for teenagers.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you notice we took out 5 big trees. It's a lot more open. We opened the view from the fire department directly over to it, which really helped a lot of the loitering. And some of the improvements, I think, already I see people over there actually sitting at the picnic tables eating food. So, I mean, already it looks like it's starting to improve the situation. But that's who we will maintain in the future.
There's been a lot of questions as to what's going on there.
Mm-hmm.
And there hasn't been a whole lot of publicity.
No,
right.
No.
People are very slow to pick up on what's happening.
That's true. And so there's a marketing committee within our cohort that Sandra Jones, that puts out the Newberry, is part of it. And so she is beginning to get more out in the Newberry Eagle.
Well, you guys had a very successful fundraiser at Mystique. I know you raised a lot of money for that at the steakhouse. And 1 week later, the guy goes, "When I was business, that wasn't a real good sign."
I think it was $400 that we raised that night.
Yeah, but everybody got a free steak dinner. And then he went out of
business 1 week later. Yeah. I don't know what happened with that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... You're so right about this. I've come in and to our little city hall and said, what is this all about?
Mm-hmm.
How come I don't... People are coming up to me and asking me, and I don't even know.
Yeah.
Things are happening.
Yeah, what it is...
We need to get out there more, somehow.
What it is the Ford... We received a grant, which is $5,000 from the Ford Family Foundation. To just give you an idea of how far $5,000 will go, $5,000 will be enough to buy a swing set.
That's good.
Okay, so we have a swing set, this big slide and some whirligigger thing that we plan to buy. I'm doing some of my own labor on this sign that is in-kind donation, and that whole big entrance sign is going to cost the cohort like $800, and it's multi-thousands of dollar sign if you were to hire it out. But there's a lot of volunteers doing this work, and you know, I appreciate your comment, because if a lot more publicity was out there, maybe we would get more help and more buy-in.
I'm sure
to it, because there's some of us that are working our fingers to the bone on this thing. And, you know, so I'm going to make a recommendation that you know, I've been told that there hasn't been a lot of education on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And try to get the word out.
Well, what would happen if we monthly invited the reporter from the Eagle to come to our meeting and report that in the paper? Would they even bother?
Wendy Corn was... She was coming to some of the Planning Commission meetings. I know when BioGreen was real hot, trot and everything. And now I don't know why.
Well, the newspaper's only going to come if there's something that's considered newsworthy. They're not going to sit here.
Oh, well,
and
the
listen.
Park is newsworthy.
Well, but I'm saying meeting after meeting.
The new tax on the back of the Mid-State bill. That's newsworthy. I've got people asking me.
Yeah, but there's been 2 stories on that.
I know. I was part of it.
Well, I mean, there's been news stories, so you will get that if you have an Oregonian in your town daily. I mean, people.
Anyway, that new park revitalizing job over there, that's very positive, very exciting news, and I'm gonna talk to Sandy about possibly getting another article. There has been some kind of small ones, back page type stuff that's gone out, but really the seniors is a large community here, the schools are a very large, you know, family-based community. So these communities need to really know what's going on over there. So we'll work on that marketing a little bit better. So, any other planning commission reports?
Nope.
If not, we didn't have any other matters?
Nope.
So I would entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I would so make it work.
Thanks, Deborah.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Deborah. So, no further ado.
Good job.
This meeting is...